Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in the book of John, chapter 9. And this is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
Words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, the words of the Lord are pure. You shall keep them, O Lord, you shall preserve them from this generation forth. Purified seven times, the words of the Lord are pure. Purified seven times, the words of the Lord are pure.
Well, we got to see the religious leaders wanting to kick anybody out of the church if they disagreed with them. Anybody that followed Jesus or his disciples would be cast out of their church.
Yeah, it was interesting because when we're reading that, the parents of this man born blind, let's see here, in verse, I think it's 22, his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. It's an interesting thing because when you think about what a synagogue is the place where they would gather, right? And they would have readings like Jesus would stood up to read in the synagogue. And that is something that I really relate to because, well, first of all, these are people who, these Pharisees, they had gathered together themselves and agreed that anybody who confessed Jesus as Christ, they were going to kick him out of their place of gathering. What does that sound like today? To me, is something I can relate to because that happened to me when that had to do with really being kicked out of a church. I was told that you can't be here anymore. This is a pretty well-known church here in the Washington area. And it had to do with me wanting to know the truth. And so I was reading my Bible on my own. And the conversation I had with myself really was, if God is real, then the Bible's true. And I want to prove God right. And so I'm going to read the Bible and go through this on my own. So this is on my own volition. And it hadn't been even a year until this started happening. Truth started coming out. And one of the head pastors there at that place, won't say no names, they basically said, you know, even if what you're saying is true, I refuse to believe that. And I was like, oh.
He said that?
Verbatim. Verbatim.
I remember that.
And at the time, I was like, I was really big into proving people right. Not like that went away, but it was a time.
You weren't negative. You were being positive.
Yeah. And so I would take a recorder and I would go and record a sermon and I'd go back to that sermon and I'd look it up because sometimes there's things going over my head or whatever it may be. And in this conversation, it was like I press record to see, because this guy says, I've been reading the Bible for 12 years, and who are you? You know, and on the recording, he said those words verbatim, and I had to go back and re-listen to that, and I was like, whoa. And this guy is in a very prominent church place here in the Vancouver area, and he's like got a pretty big following of people here, and that's his attitude. And he had said, are you going to keep talking about these things? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, this is blah, 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 community church. You don't believe what we believe, so you're not welcome. And that was verbatim too, except for the blah, blah, blah. But following Jesus, you know, it's one of those things where you can, they'll put you out of a synagogue. They'll put you out of, they will, because they don't agree with the Bible. They didn't agree with Jesus. And anybody that did agree with Jesus, they would remove them. Let's get that troublemaker out of here. I got a living to make. You know what? At the same time that happened, I didn't walk out of that building upset. I walked out of that building praising God, because it was like persecution. And I was like, everything that just happened just lines up in the scriptures. And it was like, praise the Lord. And it was a weight off my shoulders. Now I don't even have to be a part of that place. I can be free to worship God in spirit and truth. I can be free to do that now. Whereas before, it was trying to put a lid on it. They were trying to put a lid on me. Keep that hush hush until we talk to you again. Yeah.
Now the Pharisees, actually, they condemned themselves, saying about Jesus, as for this man talking about Jesus, we don't know where he's from. Well, he came from God. So they actually condemned themselves by saying that. It's funny because when I, as a little boy, when I went to church, I could tell they weren't interested in the Lord. They didn't read the Bible. All you had to do is memorize where the verses or where the books were in the scriptures, but I never heard the Bible. I heard them talk about the Lord, but I never heard them read in this particular denomination. They always left a seat open where Jesus could sit in there, but I never saw him and I never sensed his presence until I started reading the Bible in my high school age. And I started another habit, and that was praying every night when I went to bed. And I started seeking. I started seeking his face and went to several churches like Baptist church, normal churches. I found out there were a lot of different types of Baptist churches. There was a missionary Baptist church, Primitive Baptist, Missionary Baptist,
First Baptist,
Calvary Baptist, and so on. And they at least read the Bible a little bit, but not like the Church of Christ. They were reading it more and saying more. A little verses here. And it wasn't until I met this man of God that they actually read the Bible daily and sought it out in a methodical way to try to understand what the basic first principles, the things that really meant, that were important, the first important things that a man must know to get to know Jesus' heart, his heart and mind. And that impressed me when I saw people trying to think like Jesus and to do what Jesus did and to follow him. Like Jesus said, change your mind and come after me, come follow me. So we started this journey about 50-some years ago, Andy about 45 years ago, and Brett about 15 years ago-ish.
Mm. Yeah, ish.
Más o menos.
14, más o menos.
More or less. 35 to the end of chapter 9, verse 41. Did you have something to say, Andy?
Is that a break after that because it has an and sitting there, or is that just a normal standard? That's just one context.
39, yeah.
It's just a one. Okay.
I don't have any words written in the break here,
okay,
so I
good.
Like I did before.
Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Oh, it first thing it says is, and they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out and found him and said, believest thou unto the Son of Man? He answered and said, and who is he, sir, that I may believe on him? Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, and he it is that speaketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment came I into this world, that who see not may see, and who see may become blind. Those Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say that we see, your sin remains.
They just really opened their mouths too many times. They didn't open their ears. They did not repent. And so...
And this wasn't one guy.
Yeah.
This was plural people.
And this is a diminishing religion. This is a religion that the crowds are following Jesus in great number, and many are paying attention. They're hanging on every word that he is saying. And here is this religion, and the seats are empty, basically. I'm just speaking in general terms. Chapter 10, 1 through 6 are the verses. And we're always free to go back and discuss things as the Lord leads.
Amen, amen, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings all his own out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will never know, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them.
This next context is really going to talk about this. It's going to go into details about this, but let's think of the temple. And it had three doors. It had the gate on the outside into the outer court, and then the screen was the next door that went into the holy place, and then the veil that was torn top to bottom when Jesus died that guarded the Holy of Holies where God dwells, in the Holy of Holies. Basically, he is making this one term for these three doors. Really, I am the door. Now, if we're going to go in this place, he is the door. And if they go in some other way, they're a thief and a robber. So what is this following? This is in sequence now. And what did we just read about? Who's in the temple now? Who are the keepers of the temple and the entrance to the temple where Jesus is talking? What have we just found out? Who are the ones that say there?
Oh, the Pharisees.
Pharisees, yeah. The religious folks at the time.
And what is he calling them now? What are the two words he's calling them?
Thieves and robbers.
A thief.
A thief and a robber.
Started out with thief.
Now, there are true valuables in the true temple.
And a stranger.
And they are strangers.
And they're strangers.
Where did you see stranger?
Verse 5.
Oh.
The voice of strangers.
And a stranger will not follow. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So they're strangers. You good pickup.
The sheep
thief,
won't follow.
Robbers and strangers.
Yeah, the sheep thief won't follow them.
A thief, a robber, and strangers. They do not know Jesus. That's a great pickup.
That is a good point.
There was.
Because it's always stuck, thieves and robbers.
How many times you read this and you don't see something new? It's always something new. Well, the more layers you read.
Forevermore. I haven't seen that before.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
No.
Praise God.
I'm glad you said that. Thieves, robbers, and strangers. They go in another way. But the porter opens when they hear the sheep, hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So we are to enter by the door. So these folks that are calling themselves, they're standing in the place of Jesus, supposedly. And they're called thieves, robbers, and they are strangers to to Jesus. They do not know him. They're not called his friends. They're not called family. They're not called his son. Thieves and robbers and strangers are running the temple. We need to read more about this, though. Do you want to keep going? And we can still talk back about those earlier verses to verse 18, 7 through 18 in John 10.
Jesus therefore said again, "Amen, amen, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. Who is a hireling and not a sheep, whose own the sheep are not, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters, because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock, one shepherd. For this the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, and I take it again. No one took it away from me, but I lay it down myself. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. This commandment received I from the Father,"
Wow.
"from my Father."
No questioning Jesus' power and authority, is there? Look at that. I can lay down my own life. Nobody lays it down. I lay it down. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. And this is from a commandment of God. Whatever God says is set.
That's interesting, because it takes me to when they asked Jesus, "By what authority do you do these things?"
Right.
And he didn't tell him, but it's interesting because he says here, "This commandment I received from my Father." And he's telling us where that came from.
"This commandment received I from my Father." It's done. Two times he says, "I am the door of the sheep. I am the door." Two times he says, "I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd."
You know what else that it brings in here? We have thieves, robbers, strangers, and...
then he introduces another animal.
Wolves. All of those things trying to get at the sheep.
They snatch, and a wolf snatches and scatters. And a thief steals, kills, and destroys.
So here's now another. The people in charge of the temple were known as wolves. Thieves, robbers, wolves, and strangers.
Strangers.
Strangers to God, yeah. And what kind of clothing do they have on? Sheep's clothing.
Sheep's clothing.
They masquerade.
They try to look like a sheep. But when they open their mouths a little bit too much, all of a sudden you see the fangs. Did you know the lion is going to lie down with the lamb in the new heaven and new earth? And maybe, I think, even in a thousand-year reign. I believe there will be one, earth will be one language, and the lion will lie down with the lamb. We'll be total vegetarians during that time. The end of killing any kind of animals is done, and all these people, everybody needs to join the Lord, because if they have these hang-ups about eating meat and so on, they're vegetarians today. Right. Wait till the thousand-year reign. It's really going to come to fruition, and we're not going to see that death anymore. People will live to 1,000 years. And if a babe doesn't live to 100 years old, they'll think it's something's wrong. That starts in 1,000 years. Of course, in the new heaven and new earth, there'll be no more death, no more separation from God. But just a light overview, but we'll really get into that. You know, Wait and see all the details on this. But anyway, there's fangs to these ministers. They've got sheep's clothing on, but you say the wrong thing and the fangs come out with some of these ministers.
Yeah, he never gives them a shepherd word. They're only a thief, a robber, a stranger, a wolf that scatters and kills. Is that right? A wolf snatches and scatters. So they don't ever get associated to as any kind of shepherd.
But they sure have sheep's clothing on. There's another place in the Bible that talks
sheep.
About that.
They're impersonating a sheep.
They're hiding under a cloak.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not in their heart. Have them smile. See what kind of teeth they have. And here again, four I ams. Ego I am-y, the door. This is the real DNA of Jesus. I am the door. By me, if any enter, he shall be saved. How many times have you seen that word saved? That is a word that is used a lot in churches, but do you see it as much in the Bible? It's just thrown all over the place, isn't it?
Many doctrines are created from verses like this one or like others, and that's solely what their doctrine is based on.
How many times since you've started reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, have you seen the word saved? Now, this is going to be a trick question because I've got something else in mind. But seen outright, that word saved, you don't see it a lot. Now, you're afraid to answer
me. No, I don't. Oh, I don't have a number.
But we haven't seen that a lot, have we?
No, I don't remember that jumping out that much.
Except for just above it, I see it two times. Jesus and Jesus, Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh saves is Jesus' name. It's in
his
name.
So that's in his name.
It's in his name.
Then it's everywhere.
It's in his DNA.
I gotcha.
Isn't that interesting? But it's not that term is used so usefully. And this is the ironic thing about it. Those wolves that have sheep's clothing on that are really not true ministers. There are some true ministers. I think they're few and far between. But they say, well, I do this in his name. And they don't say the Savior's name. They talk about salvation, but they don't use the name that saves, Jesus.
They take the power out of it.
Jesu Christo in Greek. Jesu Christo. Jesu. Yahweh is salvation. Sozo. Yahweh plus sozo is Jesus' name. Yahweh the Savior, Jesus' name.
So there are few that are good and many that are going to destruction. So there's the group of the wolves, the group. They're in a bad group, and there's many of them.
Now, here's a shepherd who loses one sheep that happened to be foretold ahead of time, Judas Iscariot, that betrayed him. Jesus, with memory in his heart about how they had sweet fellowship together, because he's the good shepherd and he cares for the sheep, and he has this memory of fellowship with Judas Iscariot that betrayed him. There's a tenderness in that psalm talking about his relationship with Judas Iscariot. It's not all venom. It's not all fang, sharp fang teeth.
No, he goes, I enjoyed this and this, and I had, but it was this that I had sweet fellowship with. It was like, it wasn't pushing anger at him.
Yeah. And then he betrayed him, and then he says the realistic part, which is not happy, not clean. I mean, not joyous. It was, you know, he unveils the real Judas Iscariot.
Well, factually.
Yeah, factually. He gets into the facts, but how many times when people are angry and these church leaders, then they have nothing good to say about that person? Is that like the good shepherd? Are we concerned about every one and the loss of one? God says, here's God's heart, which has to be Jesus' heart. He would that none perish, but all would come to salvation. You don't see that, always that bitter thing you see with folks when they talk about a person that's their adversary or whatever.
He has hope in his statement.
Yeah. He always does with people, and some seal their own fate like Judas Iscariot did, but in God's heart, it's he would that none perish, but all would come to repentance. This is the one thing that we have noticed about the Bible, that it is both to be read, but also to be sung, and especially being sung, you find like an onion, you take off one layer, there's another layer underneath, and another layer, and another layer, and the Bible, The Jews know there are 40 layers to the Bible, but we think there's actually more. It might be a lot more. And this is Romans 14:17.
The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. Is acceptable to God and approved, amen. Is acceptable to God and approved, amen. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and joy. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and joy. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and joy. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit.
Now that was Romans 14:17, 18, and 19, but we're going to do 17 again and the Spanish version of it.
The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Porque el reino de Dios no es comida ni bebida, sino justicia y paz y gozo en el Espíritu Santo. Porque el reino de Dios no es comida ni bebida, sino justicia y paz y gozo en el Espíritu Santo. Gozo y paz y justicia en el Espíritu Santo.
And we are coming to the end again. It happens quickly, doesn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.